Welcome everybody to the Homeschool Sisterhood, and it's January, and we're starting again this year with Mother Culture. And sadly, we only have two more months of Mother Culture to go through. This book has been such a blessing for us. I know it's been a blessing for myself. Like it's been really great just to be able to sit down, read some chapters, really meditate on it, digest it, process, and slowly by, slowly applying everything that I'm learning. And today we have like three subjects that are like really different from each other. So first we're going to talk about box curriculum, textbooks and box curriculum, then marriage, and then modesty. So help me God. Because those are very, very distinct topics to be discussed in one, one book club discussion. But I want to start with chapter 32. And I thought we were doing chapter 30 this month. I'm like, no, we've done 30 and 31 already. So we are in chapter 32. And as I was just typing back to Karen, I felt guilty and highly convicted of certain curriculum choices that I've made, including the science that I'm using right now, and I'm going to talk about why. I love the science that we're using right now, but let's go through this. I'll talk about it. So 32 is escaping the clutches of Cadillac curse. It's so much easier for a mom that is starting to homeschool to buy something that is like pre-done in the box and say, here it is. It's just like school. You do 3 pages a day of this book, this book, this book, this book, and you're done. This is homeschooling, right? It's convenient. It's easier, it's less overwhelming for that new homeschool mom to get a box curriculum like that, because one, she has no clue what she's doing, what's better for her, what's going to work best for her family. I mean, you guys, listen, we all been doing this for a while. It's a learning curve, right? It took me, can I hear some amens, hallelujah? It took me 4 math curriculums to find the one that worked for my family. I think we've done also 3 or 4 language arts. And we are not third writing curriculum. One of them, we liked it at the beginning. And then we didn't really see a lot of, the kids were not excited about, and I know it works wonders for other families. So again, not everything that works well for other people will work for us. Not everything that works well for us might work for other people. That's just how it is. And you have to keep trying to find what fits your family better. And sometimes it's going to take a few years to figure it out, or at least a couple of years to figure it out. Hi, Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Cool. I'll call you one Liz and the other one Beth.
So you guys I've been on here since 5 before, but the Zoom link on the normal teachable thing is wrong.
Well, I clicked from there.
Is it
wrong?
So I went to the chat just now. We were finishing something and I thought you were just running late. And
I went
to the chat and it was a different link. So
that's why I saw actually an email and saying, like your attendee is waiting for you. And I'm like, I looked it at the thing and I'm like, that's the same one. I'm actually gonna check this very quickly. Oh, I closed it already. Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, when I came out and I came back on, it said you were in another meeting. So that's when I knew for sure that it was.
Oh, that's weird.
So that will show up for anybody else that does that. It'll say that you're in a different meeting. So then you
That's bizarre because I clicked from the sisterhood to get here. Anyways, that's weird. Hold on. Okay, so I fixed the link, which is a good thing. Thanks, Elizabeth. I'm actually changing. This is what happened. I've been changing all the links, and I missed that one. Because before, I had to create one specific link for everything that we did. Now, I decided I'm going to use one link for everything. So it's always the same room that we use on Zoom. So just to make it easy, it's one link, will take you everywhere. And somehow that one, I skipped it. So I'm sorry about that. All right, so let's get back to Vox curriculum. And then I'll chat a little bit more about the one that we picked this year for science. And so it's funny enough that her story actually talks about a science curriculum that she received to review. And she looked at the big box with, like, those big books. And she said, like, the pictures were amazing. It was, like, hardcovers. It was, you know, guys, the shiny object, like the new object syndrome. When you see something new, you're like, oh, you touch the cover and you smell the book, you know. It's tempting. It's really tempting when we see something pretty that calls our attention. I'm going to say it's amazing how curriculum that can seem to be so good in the beginning can go so drastically wrong in a short amount of time. Yes, that was what happened to our one of the writing programs that we use for us. Okay, for us. So this one specifically, she said she was like, she thought it was like amazing. And she said she thought it was like beautiful, but quickly she opened the teacher's guide and she had that moment like, this is parent oriented curriculum. And she's, I'm overwhelmed just looking at, you know, and the idea, hi Valentina, and the idea that not only she needs to teach the child, but like just add a lot of more information to it as if the child could not understand the first time that they read. And she said, the teacher's book contained the identical text of the student's book, but with an added paragraph or two. This way the teachers could be one up on the animal at hand. Why? Was the added information too difficult for a child to comprehend? Too boring. The text was expected to be livened up by the teacher. The teacher's edition was an aid for formulating lectures. Reading aloud was not suggested. Was it assumed? The text supplied 20 questions on each animal. Added to this was an attractive pack of animal facts cards for memorization, a soft cover quiz book, and a textbook. It was an expensive package, impressively schoolish in the classroom sense of the word. If a child were taking the science course, who could possibly say he wasn't doing school? Charlotte Mason, that's who. My decision was firm. I would not reveal it. And she went back to her dishes. She said she was so overwhelmed when she saw it. And I kept thinking about some of the curriculums that I actually have tried before. And for me, when I see a curriculum that is going to require me to put an hour or two a day just to get ready for then to spend another hour with my child, I'm like, this is not for me. This is just not for me. Because if all the curriculum that you're going to use, it's going to take you 2 hours every day preparing it. How long are you going to take actually homeschooling your kids? And what about your home? What about yourself? What about your husband? You know, what about like relationship with your children? Because all you're going to do is sit and spend a lot of time learning, getting ready, and, you know, and teaching it. So that for me, from a Charlotte Mason perspective, it's a red flag. It's a red flag. If a curriculum will, you know, require you to spend that much time getting ready for it. And it's going to be beautiful, but with dry facts and not a living book, does not require any read alouds. I'll say that's not a very exciting curriculum for our children, right? Because one thing that we want is to raise lifelong learners. We want our kids to love learning. And if it's going to be, it's going to stretch them too thin, and it's going to be boring, and it's going to be so dry, not exciting at all for them, chances are, like, yeah, we might finish the curriculum, but boy, will they actually learn and love learning about those things and even remember those things later on. On another hand, let's talk about the one that I picked for this year. So, Marlene is saying, I was always a little jealous of families who can use box curriculum. Okay, let me read this. They never worked for us. I can thank God now for the freedom from it and putting together what can use with kiddos. And we're out of the box kind of family. And Miranda, you're here too. You were here before and you disappeared. Now you're back. Marlene, I totally know. I totally know what you mean. And our very first curriculum was a box curriculum. We were using Horizons. And everything came in a box and it was all textbooks. It was all textbooks. And it was repetition. It was beautiful. I love the books. I thought the books were beautiful. But my kids hate it with passion, especially the math. And Horizons math is excellent for kids who need a spiral, you know, learning. For kids who do well with repetition. But my kids, they hate it, have to be doing the same thing over and over again and sitting there for hours doing, you know, pages of math or whatever it was that we were doing. So that was our very first curriculum. And then after that, we moved to Sunlight. And here's the thing. People think that Sunlight is a box curriculum, but because it comes in a box doesn't mean it's a box curriculum, okay? Sunlight, you can pick and choose what you want and what fits your kids. And you don't have to buy everything from them. And for example, right now, we just get the history, literature, and Bible. And if you look at the list of books that Sunlight offers, is almost like everything that Ambleside offers. They're living books, they're wholesome books, and they are mostly, all of them are in the Ambleside list. And science is through living books too. It's a series of different books about all the topics made it together that you use. So that was the difference for us from going through from Horizons to Sunlight. And now like we're using a different science, we use different geography, we picked, you know, from different places. So I need to talk about the science that I'm using. Hold on. That one says, if they know, why make them do the same thing for weeks on end? But if they don't know it, that's what they need to work on. All right. Diamond, yes. And some kids need repetition, okay? Some kids need repetition. You need to know if it's the right fit for your family. For my family, it wasn't a right fit because of the repetition. When we changed curriculums for them, we changed again. So on the fourth group, the only math that my kids did really well with is CTC math and master books. Those are like their favorite. They did really well. Like Math UC, which is a great curriculum. Everybody loves it. My kids hate it. They hate it. But it, you know, because it doesn't work for one family doesn't mean that it will not work for you. So you need to find what fits your family. So we were talking about the long, dredging, you know, never-ending science big curriculum that takes a lot of parent time to put together the lessons. We chose one this year that doesn't take us any time at all. And we can do the lessons like in 5 minutes. Like seriously, my kids do the whole week's lesson in probably like 20 minutes and just move on to the next one? Is it great because we are, you know, road schooling right now, and we don't have time to do a bunch of things that normally we would, and we don't have space for all the books? We went with convenience, but we didn't really think about, we didn't think it through the end result. So I love the curriculum. And I know I have a book here someplace, if no one has moved from here. Love, love, love the curriculum. And I'll tell you what I love about it. It's called Introductory Science from Science Shepherd. It's videos, short videos. And the kids have the workbook. But guys, it's like very workbook-like, okay? So I love it. I love it too. I love the videos. They're super short and fun. And the kids answer the questions when they're done. And they can move on to the next one. I'll tell you what I love about it. Short lessons, for me, is a must. Second thing, it's so convenient. The kids can watch a lesson everywhere, even in the car. The third thing that I love about it is creation-based. The fourth thing that I love about it, it covers an introduction of everything in science. Everything. Like, literally, and there's two levels that you can choose for the youngest and the oldest. Like, from earth science, it covers earth science, life science, physical science, everything in one year. So it gives them a base for all kinds of things, science. And right now they're studying geology and they're really enjoying it. But we're not reading aloud for our science like we used to read before. And I don't think my kids are retaining as much as I am used to see them retaining for science. That's why I'm like, maybe I chose what was more convenient for me instead of really thinking through, like, are they really going to learn a lot? Because, yes, we're looking at all those things. But because I am not spending time enough digging deeper with them in the subjects, then I'm pretty sure they're forgetting what they learned 2 weeks ago. And when we're reading aloud and we're spending more time in the subject, yes, takes more time as a family to do it, but chances are they're going to retain more. If they're reading aloud, if they're narrating, if they're looking at the pictures, all of the, you know, the whole thing together. So when I was reading this, I'm like, okay, there's two sides, too much, too little. And I think we need to learn to find what fits in the middle and it's balanced and it's good for our family. And like I said, love Science Shepherd. Not saying it's a bad curriculum at all. It's great. I love it. My kids love it. They asked to do it. They can do a whole week science in 20 minutes and still be super happy about it. But we missed the way that we used to do science before with Apologia or with Sunlight Science, where we had all the great books that we'll read together. So, okay, so then she talks about, let me see where she said this. She said, I can see this classroom busy work marketed to homeschoolers leading to burnout in mother and tedium in students if followed exactly as the course objectives advise. So I do a little survey in the group and on my email list too. And guys, like 70% of the moms that come into our community say that they are overwhelmed. They are overwhelmed and they're exhausted and they are on the verge of burning out. And one of the first mistakes that we make as a new homeschool mom is buy more than we need. Can I get a witness here? We buy more than we need. And then we get super excited and we get to say, no. I'm, like, it's on paper. It looks good. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then it just sits on the shelf because you don't have time to do it. Or then you're doing something with one curriculum, then you pull the other one, and now the kids are all confused because they don't know what they're doing anymore, and you don't know either, right? So a lot of moms are getting all this curriculum that takes a lot of them to be able to teach, and that's why they feel so inadequate to teach their children. This is where they feel the lack of confidence to teach their children, because now, you know, they are trying to pass on the baton of this, the public school teachers to the mothers and say, listen, you need to read this for 2 hours a day and prepare all of this crafts and all this stuff. And then you need to spend another hour, hour and a half teaching your children. So these poor moms are trying to do the busy work that the teachers do in school because, one, they cannot leave their kids idle in school. They have 7 hours that they need to maintain those kids busy. Not necessarily working, but they need to be doing something and not talking, right? Because amazingly, people tell us like how to socialize, but in school, teachers tell the kids like, you're not here to socialize, right? Kind of a, like weird, ironic. So we don't need to do that. But a lot of moms are overwhelmed because they're getting curriculums. If I had to do a whole course to just teach my kid like biology, you know, I don't know if I can add another 2 hours in my day. So then I can teach for another hour. So it can be overwhelming. So I am all for online lessons, video lessons that somebody else teach my kids. And I just come alongside and help them because I know that I wouldn't be able to spend all this time preparing. So I love Charlotte Mason for that. The idea that we're facilitators and we don't need to know it all. You know, we just need to learn with them. Be one step ahead. And for me, being one step ahead sometimes is just knowing the next topic that we're going to talk about. Because let me tell you, I've learned more homeschooling my kids than I've learned studying all those years, right? I spent so much time in school and a lot of years in college, 11 to be precise, 7 with what I actually, you know, got done. But and I, you know, people still want you to believe that you're not qualified to teach your children because the reality is that you spend all those years studying, but you don't remember anything and you don't know how to teach it. Right? So anyways, so I love what she talks about here. She says that in school, they want to do a gallon of teaching for an ounce of learning. And in homeschool, we want to do the opposite. We want to do an ounce of teaching that will bring a gallon of learning. We want to make sure that we're, you know, sparkling that curiosity and introducing them to the topics and reading great books about it and discussing and letting them narrate it. And then let them just continue to dig deeper and learn more and ask more. Somebody was telling me, who was that? I think it was my sister-in-law. We went to visit my brother, my sister-in-law, and she was talking to me how in school and at home too, she was taught to never ask questions. So she came from a very conservative Colombian family, and she said it was like what my mom and my dad said. We couldn't ask why, you know, and in school was the same thing. It was what my teacher said. We could not ask why. So she grew up feeling like very like suppressed. Like she was always afraid of asking questions about anything at all, because she was never given the freedom to ask questions. And her son is homeschooled. And he is brilliant. He has this brilliant mind. Like, he has a mind of his own, I'm telling you. This boy is 11, but he's so mature. And he asks you questions. He talks about you, about things that, oh, my goodness. Like, I don't know where he got that from, but he's super smart. So she's now dealing with the issue that her son is always questioning and wants to learn more. And she just wants, like, she says, like, I just want to tell him to stop asking me questions. You know, why are you asking me questions? Because in a way, that was the way that she grew up. But at the same time, like, she's seeing that, hey, his mind is working. My mind was always like, okay, whatever you have in your head, keep it in your head. Right? So when we're teaching our kids at home, the ounce of teaching that we're doing should be producing a gallon of learning, because we're teaching our kids to think on their own. And she talks about that here. And yes, Valentina, that's Colombia culture. And you know that, right? Same thing. Same thing. Yeah. What was it? So she talks, she says this. Let me see. Reading the living book, narrate, this is mostly what's necessary, but is a big necessary. Children are brought up acquiring powers of self-education by this simple method. They want opportunity and direction, not mental gymnastics for story information. Their minds come alive when they ponder ideas conveyed in literary language. Is your child free to make his own associations, follow a train of thought, reason, draw conclusions? For this is how persons truly become knowledgeable. By the method of reading living books and narrating, they enter a state of knowledge similar to that of entering into a state of friendship. Example, tell or add to your notebook what you've learned about Australia's amazing kangaroo from its birth to adulthood. Draw a series of three or four illustrations for it. Thus, you have an ounce of teaching for a gallon of learning, not the other way around. So what we're trying to do is teach our children to associate, follow a train of thought, and draw their own conclusions and reason and think about it. See, in public school, it's like, it's what the teacher said, right? They can't question. They can't talk about it. They can't ask, you know. But in school, when my kids come to me and says, but mom, what about this and this? You know what's the first thing that I say? What do you think? What did you read on the book? What did you watch on the documentary? What do you think of that? And let them tell you what they think of that. One, this is building big time communication skills. They are learning how to just express themselves and how to illustrate something that they're thinking about. And this is good. This is really good. Our kids were born with that desire of telling stories and narrate and tell us things. And suppressing those things means that, listen, we're never going to have a good communication. Whatever you have in your head, just keep it to yourself. So we want to give them the opportunity to reason and to talk about it and to, you know, tell what they learn and to ask more questions. And that's really important for them. Yes, Diamond is saying public school, they tell you to believe it because they say it. Yes, Miranda is saying they're learning how to think for themselves. That's exactly what we want them to do. Learn to think for themselves. Lisa's saying, I wasn't able to connect before because it's in link on Teachable was giving me an error message. Yes, I'm so sorry, Lisa. We know that. We fixed that already. The host has another meeting in progress. Finally found the new link on the Sisterhood chat. Yay! Okay, that was supposed to be a private message, but Lisa, yeah, everybody heard. So I'm glad actually you entered the chat and you find it. I just fixed it on Teachable. So hopefully it's the right one now. So that is the escape to the clutches of the Cadillac course. Just be aware, not because it comes in a box, it's not a box curriculum, but when it comes in a box curriculum, it's like a teach books. Look at the material first. Normally nowadays, and she mentions this, you can actually download the first chapters of a book before you buy the book. And that's how I fell in love with two history curriculums last year. One was Diana Waring. Guys, it's amazing. And the other one was Not Grass History. I downloaded their first chapters of their books, of their history program. And I was like, this is amazing. And both are leaving, they're considered leaving books because of the way that is written with passion. And it's so well done, so well done. So really, really great. But then some of the other ones, like you download it and you go like, this is not going to work. You know, like this is not going to work. All right. Anybody has anything to say about those things? Say it now. You can talk here. You can ask questions. Have you ever, like, you know, look at your books and go like, that might be convenient for me? And Lisa's saying, yes, Not Grass is great. And I know, Lisa, you use Not Grass, right? You're doing America the Beautiful. Is that the one that you're doing this year? So I wish I had done From Adam to Us. Yes. I wish I had done America the Beautiful before we did this trip. We did American History with Sunlight. And it was good. And we actually went back now coming down here. We read some of the books. It was good. But America the Beautiful, I think, would have been amazing. But anyways, God knows all things. And Lisa's saying we'll begin Uncle Sam and You in February, which is for the early elementary, right? Okay. Diamond is saying we use a math curriculum that most people hate. Okay, tell us which one. Won't mention names, but it works for my son. Oh, Abeka. And some kids, listen, one of my best friends, her son only uses Abeka. She grew up being homeschooled with Abeka, and it works amazing for her family, works amazing for her son, and he's the only child, and his grandmother is the one who homeschools him because his mom worked for a ministry, for a big ministry, and it works well for them. And it's a really, really good curriculum. But for me, it's intimidating because I have three children in three different grades. And looking at the books, it just made me grasp for air, like, you know. And I'm actually going. Okay, one second. So that's the bottom of line. What works for your family? If you go to the blog, and I'm pretty sure I've taught you guys this before, I use an acronym. Use the word family as an acronym for choosing curriculum. For me, the faith and philosophy is important. I need, before I pick a curriculum, I need to know if it's biblically based, especially if it's science, that it's creation and not evolution. I need to, I need to know that it's going to work for my family's learning style. Can you guys see me? No? Okay. I just did something to my camera, so just a second. I'm back. So I need to make sure that, you know, those things are very important to me. So if you follow the acronym and I teach you that little recipe, maybe I can add this to under the video for you guys. You need to think about your kids' learning style as much as you need to think about your learning style. See, my learning style is not the teacher's learning style that I need to read a whole guide before I teach my kids. That's just not how I roll it. my work for you guys. Like, for me, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So it is more fun when you learn to gather diamond. And another thing too, and this, there is a misconception. And a friend who I'm speaking in a conference with next month actually asked me this question this week. She said, I heard that Charlotte Mason is child interest based. And I'm like, no, I don't know where you heard this, but we're the ones who are in charge of their education. The difference is that instead of us playing teachers, you know, we bring in a feast of great books and great things and spread in front of them. And we facilitate their learning, but it's not like you sit here and stay quiet and I sit here and I lecture you. So just because you're not standing there lecturing them every single day, that does not make a child-led education. Hey, because if I will tell my kids, okay, I will only teach you what you want, I wouldn't be here today. That's not a child-led education. That's very, very, very different. Totally the opposite. We do know that if there are topics that our kids are passionate about, like my youngest loves everything science, and my son also loves everything history and science and loves documentaries, like I've never seen any kid liking it. Then, of course, as a mom, as a parent, you should train the child the way that they should go, the way that God naturally has given them that desire to explore certain things, their natural abilities and passions and like, right? I'm not going to say, no, you're not going to do this because you need to do this topic and nothing but this topic. So, but anyways, it's a misconception. And I'm kind of like, Rory, because I'm going to be talking about a Charlotte Mason conference in a Classical Conversations sponsored conference. And the woman that is going to talk about Classical Conversation, it's right after me. And it's live. So pray for me because I'm really nervous about it. So Elizabeth DeLille, she say, I think as some school moms, it is not just the curriculum trap, but the punish by rewards issue she talked about. We have to be careful about bribing for cooperation. Yes, we do. I just realized my messages were being privately sent. Sure, because my two favorite curriculums are not well known. And it's okay if your favorite curriculums are not well known, because again, you do not need anybody's approval to use something that works for your children. Oh, Berean Science. That's another one that is one of the top science, great science curriculums, Christian science curriculum. That's a great one too. Guys, there's a lot of great things out there. It's overwhelming to pick what really works. You can use books from the library and get a good education. Yes, you can, Diamond. That's right. You don't need to break the bank for that. Bianca's saying, Bianca, so good to have you here. I always tell people that choice A isn't better than choice B curriculum. It is just different. There's so many great Charlotte Mason curriculums. Yes. And you're always going to see some Charlotte Mason families also doing some curriculums that are not really called Charlotte Mason curriculum. Because for that specific subject or that specific topic, that's what's going to work for their family. That's totally okay, right? Nobody calls CTC math a Charlotte Mason math, but that's the one that works for my family, right? So you need to pick what fits your family, and the curriculum that makes everybody love reading. If you're going to use a curriculum for the sake of pleasing somebody or even pleasing yourself, you don't need to please yourself. And not for the sake of actually teaching your kids the best way, the way that they will retain and the way that they will continue to love learning. Right? Because that's the goal. That's the goal. Our goal is to raise lifelong learners. Our goal is to teach them the way that they should go. So then when they grew up, they were not depart from it. And I think that that's why it's very important for us to teach creation in a way that we also teach them what evolution says about it. Because later on, if they have never heard of it, then they're going to go like, why my mom never told me that if she knows it all? Oh, why I never heard this before? You know, but because same thing with religion. Some people are like, I'm really scared of teaching my kids other religions. Like as missionaries, it's part of our training to learn about other religions. And for our children, teaching them, you know, what is biblically sound, theologically correct, and also teach them what other religions believe and then say, this is why we believe this. And this is why we don't believe that, and show them the difference. So when they grow up, they're not confused. They're not trying to find answers for themselves. They are grounded in their faith and they know why they believe in what they believe. And this is a big problem for Generation Z, because Generation Z is Bible illiterate. And we at home have the responsibility to teach our kids biblically and raise them up really knowing the word of God and knowing why they believe in what they believe. Not as this is what we believe and we are telling them fairy tales at the same time and we're telling them, you know, believing Santa Claus and believing Jesus. And then when they grow up, like, well, one was a lie, then why is not the other one a lie? You know, just saying. Elizabeth saying, we use classical conversations for memory work and school foundation use Charlotte Mason theory for learning theory. We use Claritas for memory work and then we use Charlotte Mason for other things. And I use IW, which is classical education, because that's what works for our family better. Like I said, none of us are actually 100% Charlotte Mason. And this is something that... you know, that was one of the reasons why a big Charlotte Mason curriculum company told me that I wasn't a Charlotte Mason Puritan, so they were not going to sponsor a Charlotte Mason conference. And it just broke my heart because I wanted to say to that person that, one, we're doing what we're doing so people can know the beauty of a Charlotte Mason education. It doesn't depend on me, you know, on me being 100% Charlotte Mason, you know. So you're missing the point of the purpose and the mission in doing this. And I was just like, you know, I was like heartbroken for a long time. You guys, seriously, yeah, that was not a good thing. So there we go. There's one thing they need to be 100%, and that's 100% Christians, please. But when it comes to your homeschool curriculum, you know, find what works for you. We're using all of the great Charlotte Mason stuff that we are learning and trying to apply as is feet in our life. And if there are other things that classical will work better, or, you know, any other method of education or any other philosophy of education, then just remind yourself, homeschooling is custom-made education. That's what it is. Custom-made, perfectly fit for your own family, not everybody else's family or anyone else. How do you call it? Opinions. I even forgot the word opinions. Puritans did always treat everyone well. Yeah. So I'm going to say they need to know both sides so they can have an educated discussion when needed. Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. So ladies, I love talking about these things because when people try to, yes, when talking about evolution versus creation, yes. That's all we do here. And that's the same thing that we do for religion. We teach them, okay, this is what we believe, and this is what we believe. This is what we don't believe, and they believe. And this is why we don't believe the same way. So keep that in mind. Custom-made learning, yes, or embracing God's design for them and letting them discover who God made them to be and let him direct their learning to prepare them for the future he has for them. Absolutely. Your homeschooling journey is your homeschooling journey. What God has prepared for you, and sometimes I think about even the curriculums that we use, that God has a purpose for that specifically books that we are using. I believe that because when I go to cite anything that I'm going to use, I bring it to the Lord in prayer first. I ask the Holy Spirit to show me what's going to work for my family. And let me tell you, I might say, okay, you know, I was talking about Science Shepherd that is like short lessons and maybe I should be doing the other one that I used to do, but this is serving the purpose for the season of our lives while we're on the road. And my kids are still learning. They might not be retaining as much as they used to retain with Apologia or doing the read alouds of Sunlight Science and everything else, but it's still a great curriculum and it's still serving the purpose for this season right now in our lives. So there's no guilt trip. Diamond saying, sometimes he will show us that will work by letting something not work. That is a good perspective, though. As that's what Thomas Edison said. He, you know, because somebody asked him, like, so what did you learn from failing 1,000 times? He said, I never failed anything. I just learned 1,000 ways of not, you know, that it wouldn't work. So, yeah. But problem is the shine object syndrome, that God is already giving us a curriculum and we're still going like, oh, this looks so cute. Oh, you know, that's the hardest thing. So let me see here. Oh, Diamond said, okay, sometimes, okay, Elizabeth, or I said I will homeschool at least until kids can read. So oldest is dyslexic. I got tricked into the long term. Yeah. Because a lot of people did not start it thinking like, I'm going to homeschool. This is my dream, right? You're like, you're sucked it in, girl. Yeah. It's, I have lots of friends like that. Heidi St. John, if you guys are familiar with Heidi St. John, she has a similar story. She says, well, I'm just going to homeschool Sierra, you know, for this year. And now she's been homeschooling all her kids forever. He calls us whether we want or not. So many families that I know that I asked them, like, did you feel called to homeschool? Like, did God speak to you? Nope. I always told everybody I would never homeschool, but it happened. And I know that this is what God wanted for me now, but, you know, certain things in life, we just don't feel so called to do, you know. I have certain callings in life, like washing dishes and cooking, that is, I don't feel called to do, but I have to do. All right, ladies, let's pray. I'm actually, ooh, you know what? Oops, I am in trouble because I was supposed to start a video at 4 o'clock on my page. So, sorry, I have to run. But guys, go, if you're on Facebook, go to They Call Me Blessed. I'm going to go live with Nadine from CTC Math. And we're actually going to do a video on why kids hate math. And it's going to be really great, actually. So I'm looking forward to it. Love you guys. Let me pray for you quickly. Abba Father, we just thank you so much. You're so good to us. There's nothing out of your control in our lives. And even our curriculum, you pick them for us. And you help us to have discernment and to know what's going to work best for our family. It does not depend on other people's experiences and other people's opinions, Father, but our own, your own guidance and our own experience with each book that we pick for our children. I thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit in everything that we do. Lord, help us to discern and help us to learn to be focused in what you put in our hands to do. And not to be distracted by the beauty of other things or the sound of other things that do not belong in our homeschool or in our family. Pray for every family here that you continue to guide them and bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you, ladies. Talk to you soon.